Well, good morning. We're excited for this month of December. We are doing something that us as a church family has never done before, and we are looking and going through the Advent 1 week at a time. And as you see this morning, there is a purple candle lit. That purple candle stands for the prophet's candle. And so I would invite you this morning, you're welcome to turn to the Gospel of Luke. That'll be our core text throughout this month. But really what I wanted to do today is just for you to somewhat just relax. Every text that I'm going to use is there on your outline. And just reflect on what does prophecy have to do with Christmas, with the coming of Christ. Advent is a really simple word. It's a Latin word that just simply means coming. So when you say Advent, that's what you're saying. We're remembering. So when did that Advent start? It started in the days of Constantine in the 4th century, where Christianity went from being something that would get you killed to being literally the legal religion of that day. And during that time, this season developed. This is a candle of hope. But why is that hope? And what does prophecy have to do with it? Just listen to this. And again, I would just invite you just to listen to God's word this morning. Matthew 4:16, coming out of the New Living Translation. This is the beginning of Jesus' ministry. It says, when Jesus heard that John had been arrested, that's John the Baptist, he left Judea and returned to Galilee. He went first to Nazareth, then left there and moved to Capernaum beside the Sea of Galilee in the region of Zebulun and Naphtali. Verse 14, this fulfilled what God said through the prophet Isaiah. In the land of Zebulun and of Naphtali, beside the sea, beyond the Jordan River, in Galilee, where so many Gentiles live, the people who sat in darkness have seen a great light. And for those who lived in the land where death cast its shadow, a light has shined. From then on, Jesus began to preach, repent of your sins and turn to God, for the kingdom of heaven is near. What we want to do is reflect on this, that all through history, the prophets have said, someone's coming. It is the Messiah. So when you think of hope, what do you think of? What word? Think of a word that parallels, that may even explain hope, if you were explaining it to someone who maybe wasn't a believer. I think if there was one word, and Micah captured it in the one song, it is the word expectancy. Hope is that we are expecting something. And here's what we hear when your children go to school or they go off to college. They'll hear that the Christian religion is simply a patriarchal religion made up by old men who had an agenda. And that people simply needed a religion, needed something to hold on to because life was hard, and they needed to make up this idea of a God or a Messiah that would maybe make their life better, maybe, somehow, someday. But is that what hope is? No. Advent centers on this hope and says this hope has a name, that he would be Israel's Messiah and would bring light to all people, to the nations, to us. Deuteronomy 18, listen to what Moses said. The Lord your God will raise up from you a prophet like me from among you, from your brothers, and it is him that you shall listen. Isaiah 49 and verse 6 says, he says, is it too small a thing that you should be my servant to raise up the tribes of Jacob and to restore the preserved ones of Israel? I will also make you a light of the nations so that my salvation may reach the ends of the earth. And so Those people who heard the prophets expected to be a better prophet, a final prophet, one that would preserve them, that would restore them, that would in turn shine a light to the nations so that they may worship God, because he deserves their worship. Joel chapter 2 and verse 28 said, "And it shall come to pass afterwards that I will pour out my spirit on all flesh. Your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. Your old men shall dream dreams, and your young men shall see visions, even on the male and female servants. In those days I will pour out my spirit." They expected a new work accomplished by the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit has been working through all of redemptive history, beginning at creation. Ezekiel 11, they expected a Messiah that would bring a new day, that would do a new thing among them. Ezekiel 11, 19 says, "I will give them one heart, and a new spirit I will put within them, and I will remove the heart of stone and the heart of flesh, that they may walk in my statutes and keep my rules and obey them, and they shall be my people, and I will be their God." So this Messiah that they're speaking of, this, and all of this new that's coming, what might he look like? How should they have known he was coming? So how would this Messiah come first? Did the prophets tell us? Isaiah 7:14, by the way, written some 700 years, most of these prophets, before the birth of Christ. It says, "Therefore the Lord himself will give you a sign. Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and shall call his name Emmanuel." Matthew 1:23, prophecy fulfilled. "Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel," which means God with us. Yes, the prophets told us how they would come. They even told us where the Messiah would be born. Luke 2:10, he graciously just read for us, says, "And the angel said to them, Fear not, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. For unto you is born in this day in the city of David, a Savior who is Christ the Lord." Micah 5:2, again, 700 years before Christ. "But you, O Bethlehem, who are too little to be among the clans of Judah, from you shall come forth for me one who is to be the ruler in Israel, whose coming forth is from old, from ancient days." Luke 2:4-6 says, "And all went to be registered, each to his own town, and Joseph went up from Galilee, from the town of Nazareth to Judea, to the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was from the house and lineage of David, to be registered with Mary, be his betrothed, who was with child. And while they were there, it came time to give birth." The Messiah would be born in Bethlehem, and so he was. Where would he live? Hosea 11:1 says, "When Israel was a child, I loved him, and out of Egypt I called my son." Matthew 2:14 says, "And Joseph rose up and took his child and his mother by night and departed to Egypt and remained there until the death of Herod. This was to fulfill what the Lord had spoken by the prophet, out of Egypt I shall call my son." Not only was he told that he would be born of a virgin and that he would be born in Bethlehem, he said that he would be raised partly for some years in Egypt, and that he was. So what will he be called? Well, Daniel 7 tells us one name. It says, "And I saw in the night visions, and behold, with the clouds of heaven, there came one like a son of man. And he came to the Ancient of Days and was presented before him. And to him was given dominion and glory and a kingdom, and all peoples and nations and languages should serve him. His dominion is an everlasting dominion which shall not pass away, and his kingdom one that shall not be destroyed." In Revelation 1, written to the church, here's what John saw. "Then I turned to see the voice that was speaking to me. And one turning, I saw seven golden lampstands. In the midst of the lampstands, one like a son of man, clothed with a long robe and a golden sash around his chest. The hairs of his head were white, like white wool, like snow. His eyes were like a flame of fire, his feet like burnished bronze, refined in the furnace, and his voice was like a roar of many waters. In his right hand he held seven stars, and from his mouth came a sharp two-edged sword, and his face was like the sun shining in full strength. And when I saw him, I fell at his feet as though dead. But he laid his right hand on me, saying, "Fear not, I am the first and the last and the living one. I died, and behold, I am alive forevermore, and I have the keys of death and the grave." Unless we think that the Old Testament did not say that God the Father had a son, let us listen to Psalms 2. Psalms 2, beginning in verse 1, says, "Why do the nation rage and the people plot in vain? The kings of the earth set themselves, and the rulers take counsel together against the Lord, against his anointed. Let us burst their bonds apart and cast away their cords from us. He who sits in heaven laughs. The Lord holds them in derision. Then he will speak to them in his wrath and terrify them in his fury, saying, 'As for me, I have set my king on Zion, my holy hill. I will tell of the decree. The Lord has said to me, "You are my son. Today I have begotten you. Ask of me, and I will make the nations your heritage and the ends of the earth your possession. You shall break them with a rod of iron and dash them into pieces like a potter's vessel." Unless we think that son he was speaking of was David, Acts 13 tells us who it was. Listen to what Acts 13, beginning in verse 30. "But God raised him, Jesus, from the dead. For many days he appeared to those who had come up with him from Galilee to Jerusalem, who are now his witnesses to the people. And we bring you the good news that what God has promised to the fathers, this he has fulfilled to us by raising Jesus. As also it was written in the second Psalms, 'You are my son, today I have begotten you.' And as for the fact that he raised him from the dead and no more to return to corruption, he has spoken in this day, 'I will give you the holy and blessings of David.' Therefore, he also says in another psalm, 'You will not let your Holy One see corruption.' Listen, for David, after he had served the purpose of God in his own generation, fell asleep and was laid with his fathers and saw corruption. But he who God raised up did not see corruption. Let it be known to you, therefore, brothers, that through this man forgiveness of sins is proclaimed to you, and by him whoever believes is freed from everything that they could not be freed from the law of Moses." Oh, he fulfilled Scripture. What would he do, this prophet, this better prophet, this son of man, this Messiah? Well, Isaiah 61:1 says, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because the Lord has anointed me to bring good news to the poor. For he has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim the liberty to the captives, and to open the prisons for those who are bound, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor and the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all who mourn, to grant those who mourn in Zion, to give them a beautiful headdress instead of ashes, oil of gladness instead of mourning, the garments of praise instead of a faint spirit. And they will be called oaks of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, that he may be glorified." In Luke 4, verse 16, Jesus stood up in the synagogue. In verse 16 it says, "And Jesus came to Nazareth when he was brought up, as was his custom. He went to the synagogue on the Sabbath day and he stood up. And the scroll of the prophet Isaiah was given him. And he unrolled the scroll and found it, and found where it was written, 'The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he has anointed me to bring good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim liberty to the captives and recovery of sight to the blind, to set at liberty those who are oppressed, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor.' And he rolled up the scroll and gave it back to the attendants and sat down. And the eyes of all in the synagogue were fixed on him. And he began to say to them, 'Today this scripture has been fulfilled in your hearing.'" That's what he came to do. Our hope is not in a blind hope of some Superman that's going to take away our problems. Our hope is in the one who fulfilled what the prophet said he was going to fulfill. Our hope is in an incarnated Messiah. Where did prophecy begin? It began in Genesis 3:15. Remember, Adam and Eve broke the covenant. Sin came. And yet, God speaks to the enemy, "I will put enmity between you and the woman, between your offspring and her offspring. He shall bruise your head, and you shall bruise his heel." That, what is he saying? That through an offspring, a woman will raise a seed that will fix the problem of what man broke. Listen to this, Galatians 3:16. "Now the promises were made to Abraham and to his offspring," that is his seed. It does not say "into offsprings," referring to many, but referring to one, "and to your offspring, who is Christ." Christ was the seed, the promised offspring, the Messiah who came through Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, Judah, David, then to Joseph. God brought forth a son not born of Joseph's seed, but who proceeded from the Father through the Spirit to redeem a people back to his God. This Messiah would have a unique earthly lineage, but he would have a divine lineage because he came from God the Father. He would fix it because not that he was simply man, but he was God and man. John 1:14 says, "And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we have seen his glory, glory as to the only one from the Father, full of grace and truth." This is in the last month, as studying different things, this has just hit me afresh and anew. The Messiah came to tabernacle. That's a word there. Just means to dwell among us, to live next door to us, to dwell with his people. But listen, it's just important. If you don't get anything else today, understand this. Jesus came to redeem you, to remove everything that was in the way between you and God. Listen, that he might indwell you. That was his plan all along. Listen, that's what makes the new better than the old. God just doesn't abide with us. He lives in us. Listen, you, brothers and sisters, are the first fruits of a new heaven and a new earth. Because when he saved you, he made you new, and he indwelled you with God. We don't need no building, and we don't need no tent, because we are the indwelling of God. And every time we gather together, God gathers with us. This is the gospel. This is hope. Because nothing in your situation, nothing in your heart last week or your heart next week can separate you from the love of God, because he not only dwells with you, he indwells you. Jesus is our living hope. That baby music captured this tension so beautifully this morning. I hope you got it. The baby who was prophesied is now the risen, reigning king. He's our coming king. We have had one advent. We are waiting on the second. Listen to Revelation 22, verse 16. "I, Jesus, have sent my angels to testify to you about these things for the churches. I am the root and the descendant of David, the bride and morning star. The Spirit and the bride say, 'Come.' Let everyone who hears come. And let the one who is thirsty come. Let the one who desires to take the water of life without price come." Verse 20, he says, it's the way Scripture ends, "He who testifies to these things, surely I am coming soon. Amen." And that refrain that believers have said ever since, "Come, Lord Jesus." And so this morning, no long sermon for you, but I do want to end in two ways this morning. I want to, as a matter of fact, I invite you to go to Isaiah 40 with me. Again, a passage written some 700 years or more before Christ. What we're going to do, I'm going to read this. This is the way church was back in the day. Scripture is enough to bring his people to worship. And then what we're going to do is we're going to celebrate communion a little different this morning. I'm going to invite you, as I'll pray and the praise team is going to come up, and as Micah plays, I'm going to invite you to go to the tables and get the elements and hold them in your hands. Go back to your seats, and I'm going to lead you in the Lord's Supper when we will do this for the month of December. And so, but let's reflect on our incarnated Messiah and our reigning King. Isaiah 40, "Comfort, comfort my people, says your God. Speak tenderly to Jerusalem and cry to her that her warfare is ended and her iniquity is pardoned, and she has received from the Lord's hand double for all her sin. A voice cries in the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord, make straight in the desert a highway for our God. Every valley shall be lifted, every mountain and hill shall be made low. The uneven ground shall become level and all rough places a plain. And the glory of the Lord shall be revealed, and all flesh shall see it together. For the mouth of the Lord has spoken." A voice says, "Cry." And I said, "What shall I cry? All flesh is grass, and all its beauty is like the flower of the field. The grass withers and the flower fades when the breath of the Lord blows on it. Surely the people are grass. The grass withers and the flower fades, but the word of our God will stand forever. Go up onto a high mountain, O Zion. Herald the good news. Lift up the voice and strength, O Jerusalem. Herald the good news. Lift it up. Fear not, says to the cities of Judah. Behold your God. Behold, the Lord comes with might. With his arm rules for him. Behold, his reward is with him and his recompense before him. He will tend his flock like a shepherd. He will gather the lambs in his arms. He will carry them in his bosom and gently lead those who are with young. Who has measured the waters in the hollow of his hand and marked off the heavens with a span, enclosed the dust of the earth in a measure and weighed the mountains in scales and the hills in a balance? Who has measured the Spirit of the Lord, and what man can show him his counsel? Whom did he consult, and with whom did made him understand? Who taught him the path of justice and taught him knowledge and showed him the way of understanding? Behold, the nations are like a drop in the bucket and are counted as dust on the scales. Behold, he takes up the coastlands like fine dust. Lebanon would not suffice for fuel, nor its beast enough for a burnt offering. All the nations are nothing before him. They are counted by him as less than nothing in emptiness. To whom will you liken God? Or what likeness compare you to him? An idol? A craftsman casts it, and a goldsmith overlays it with gold and casts it for its silver chains. He who is too impoverished for an offering chooses wood that will not rot, and he seeks out a skillful craftsman to set up an idol that will not move. Do you not know? Do you not hear? Has it not been told you from the beginning? Have you not understood from the foundations of the earth? It is he who sits above the circles of the earth, and its inhabitants like grasshoppers, who stretches out the heavens like a curtain and spreads like a tent to dwell in, who brings princes to nothing and makes rulers of the earth as emptiness. Scarcely as they planted, scarcely sown, scarcely has their stem taken root in the earth when he blows on them and they wither, and the tempest carries them off like stubble. To whom will you compare me, that I should be like him, says the Holy One? Lift up your eyes and see who created these things, who brings out of their host by number and calls them by name, by greatness and his might, and because he is strong and powerful, not one is missing. What do you say, O Jacob, and speak, O Israel? My way is hidden from the Lord, and my right is discarded by God. Have you not known? Have you not heard? The Lord is the everlasting God, the creator of the ends of the earth. He does not grow faint or weary. His understanding is unsearchable. He gives power to the faint, and to him who has no might, he increases strength. Even youth shall faint and be weary, and young men shall fall exhausted. But they who wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up like wings, like eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. Battleground Community Church, let us behold our God, for he has come, and his name is Jesus. Let's pray. So, Lord, now as we come to respond to those prophecies that was foretold by the prophet, that was fulfilled in your Son, whom you sent. Lord, your Son never had a beginning. He is the only begotten Son. It is him that our focus is on this morning. It is to you we ask that we would enjoy your presence now as we remember the person and work of your Son who called us out of darkness into his marvelous light. So, Lord, you be magnified and worshiped. In Jesus' name, amen.